This podcast is a production of Bridges Church. Please visit us at www.bridgeschurch.net.
All right. Well, good morning, everybody. Good to see you guys. A little quiet here. Good morning. There you go. Right, let it echo in here. That's good. Hey, if you have your church app, if you open that up, the outline is there today. You can follow in. If you have your Bibles, have those ready. We're going to get to that in just a second. As we get started, today is our birthday. As a church, we are 13 years old today, so we finally become a teenager after all this time. The last Sunday in September is when we launched, and so this is what we want you to do inside the room, and online, we want to do this as well. Inside the room, I want you to turn in just a minute. We're going to say happy birthday to one another, and online, we want you to type it in. So you guys ready? On the count of three, we're going to say happy birthday. One, two, three. Happy birthday. There you go. Exactly. So because the church is the people, this is our birthday. And we're just so glad for what God is doing in our lives and life of the church. We want to take a short survey while we're doing this as well. So online, we're going to have you type some things in, and the room is going to have you raise your hand, okay? So we're going to figure out when you actually came to Bridges and where we were at the time. So if you came while Bridges was at the movie theater, raise your hand. All right, some people in the back, all right, very back. So that was 13 years ago now. So type that in if you were at movie theater, right? Next place we went was North Forsyth. Anybody in the room at North Forsyth? Nobody in the room. There were some first hours. So if you were at North Forsyth your first Sunday, type that in online. And our next stop was Old Town Elementary. Anybody in the room, Old Town? Okay, some of you guys, very good. A lot of you guys in the room. So Old Town was a great stop, so write that in online. And then the next one we're going to say here on Rinalda Road. How many of this was your first visit? Not counting online. So first visit was Rinalda Road. Okay, some of you guys here, so that's awesome. So type that in. And then the last one, we're seeing a lot of this. How many of your first real attendance was online, though? How many of you were first online? Quite a few in the room, and then also online, typed it in. It's just cool how God has brought people together to form a body. And right now, it's such an interesting time with COVID-19, with being in the room and being online. We don't see each other like we used to, but we know God's at work. The Spirit is at work in people's lives, and so that's how the church looks today. And hopefully, sometime in the near future, we'll be able to be back all in person. A quick announcement before we dive into the message today. This Thursday and this Saturday, we're going to have a prayer experience here on the property. And we're in the Rooted study, and one of the things we're studying in week three is prayer. And so we wanted to have a prayer experience here. It'll be outside and inside. There'll be social distancing going on, and we want you to know about it. Thursday night from 5:30 to 6:30, just show up out here. We'll get you to the right place. Or Saturday morning, 9 to 10. You can go to both. If you're in a Rooted small group, your small group will probably do something together, so just talk about it as a small group. If you're not in a small group, you're welcome to come to the church during those times, and we just wanted to get people together and pray, because that really is one of the greatest foundations we have as a church and as individuals, connecting with God through prayer. Oswald Chambers wrote this. It's one of my favorite prayer quotes. He wrote this: prayer does not fit us for the greater work. Prayer is the greater work. It's just connecting with God, letting God work in our lives, and so we'll be doing that. This is week three in Rooted. Those in small groups, you've been reading and you're getting ready to prepare for your small group. And the question that we're going to talk about in your small group is a simple question. Here it is. It's, how does God speak? Which is one of the most important things for us to learn, right? And in your small groups, you're studying this, you're talking about it, you're going to dive into that a little more deeply. But today I want to take the flip side of that question and look at that. How can I hear from God then? Because for most of us, probably we've had some time where we could not hear from God, or God was silent. And what do you do with those times where you're not connecting with God, you're not hearing God, you're not seeing him at work? Jesus talked about so often in his stories, he would say, he who has ears, let him hear. You know, people have ears, but they don't always hear. And don't point to anybody in the room, but have you ever had that time where you're talking to someone and they are nodding and they're going, and they're not listening one bit? You ever happened to you? They're on their phone, they're typing something, they're watching something, they got their earbuds in, you name it, they're not there. I mean, they're there, but they're not there. And I think we've always been known people like that. We've been that way ourselves sometimes. And sometimes we're like that with God, where we are listening without listening. So today we want to talk about, how do you really hear from God? How do you listen to God? Today we're going to look at a book of the Bible I don't think I've ever taught from. And if you have your Bibles, open up to the book of Habakkuk. All right, it's in the Old Testament, it's in the Minor Prophets. If you have it on your phone, it's really easy to find because you just go and scroll down to get Habakkuk. But if you are a person that uses your phone, you just find that's easy. If you're using the physical Bible, look in the table of contents. Great book. It's only three chapters, written about 600 years ago. They call him a minor prophet. I don't know how he would feel about that. What makes him minor as opposed to the major prophets? But usually the minor ones are just shorter books. Their prophecies were a little more pointed, but we don't treat it as a minor prophecy. What God did through that book is really talk about how do you hear from him when he's quiet. And maybe today you came here with a question that you have for God. Maybe you are praying over something you're not seeing answers to. Maybe you have a deadline. This is always a tough one, right? You got a deadline to make a decision, and you haven't heard from God on what to do, and you're going, how am I going to make this decision unless I hear from him? Or maybe you've been praying over an issue and you're just not getting an answer. And today we want to address that. Habakkuk had a problem he was dealing with. And we want to read that Habakkuk chapter 1, 1 through 3. He's going to express it in a prayer. So Habakkuk chapter 1, 1 through 3 goes like this. This is the message that the prophet Habakkuk received in a vision. And here's his prayer. How long, O Lord, must I call for help? You ever felt that way? God, I've been bringing this up every day. I've been talking to you about this all the time. How long must I call for help, but you do not listen? You ever felt that way with God? That he's not listening to you and he's not speaking directly to you, or he's not responding the way that you want him to? Maybe you prayed and it felt like it was just bouncing off the ceiling. That's where Habakkuk is. Next verse, he says, violence is everywhere. I cry, but you do not come to save. You're not doing anything about it, God. He goes on to write, must I forever see these evil deeds? Why must I watch all this misery? Wherever I look, I see destruction and violence. I am surrounded by people who love to argue and fight. That was written 2,600 years ago. But doesn't that fit today? Aren't we surrounded by people who just love to argue and fight? I mean, I would stay away from Facebook kind of now almost completely, except for what we do through church, because people are arguing, fighting with people that they don't even know, or they're sending things out there and nobody's responding back. There's a lot of that. There's a lot of that in the media, isn't there? It's just constant stuff. And I feel exactly like Habakkuk. God, you need to work. You need to be involved. Where are you, God, sometimes? Where are you actively pursuing peace? And I think we can all feel like that sometimes. God, I want to hear from you. Now, one of the things I love about Habakkuk in his book, and it's again only three chapters, is he doesn't just sit there with his questions. He does go pursue them. He does something about it. He wants to hear God so badly, he takes some steps. And here's his steps. Chapter 2, verse 1, you're going to see what he does. He does a series of things all in one place. He says, I will climb up to my watchtower and stand at my guard post. There I will wait to see what the Lord says and how he will answer my complaint. I've prayed. I've given it over to God. Now I'm going to go watch. I'm going to go look. I'm going to go listen. And maybe that's where you are today. And we want to explore, what does he do and how does it help us? Before we kind of look at that and dive a little deeper, we're going to talk about some questions to ask. I just want to pray over this time. So let's pray together. Father God, even in this space, just speak to us. And I know either in the room or online, there's people that have been crying out to you, been seeking you. Some of them are facing just kind of a silence. Some of them are just waiting and waiting and waiting. So I pray today you'll just speak to our hearts and show us what you want us to do as we wait for you to speak. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. On your outline, there are five questions I want to work through that if you're kind of in this situation, here's some things that you can do and ask yourself in order to hear from God. First question to kind of mull over is this: do I really want to hear from God? Do I really want to hear from God? Sometimes we think we do, but do we really want him to? Habakkuk said he's going up there to hear from God. We say, God, speak, but what if he tells us something we don't want to hear? What then? I was listening to someone on the radio on a panel discussion, and they were talking about, as a mom, they had a child, and their child was going on an overnight event at the school. And the child was kind of acting up the week it was happening, so the mom said to the child, if you continue this behavior, you will not be able to go on the trip overnight to your school. So the next day, the child got up and did the same behavior, but worse. And so they had the conversation. If you continue this behavior, you won't be able to go on the trip overnight with the school. And the child said, I got it. So what happened the next day? The child did even more, and it was even bigger, and they just kind of did a lot grander kind of thing, trying to catch mom's attention. It kind of hit mom. My son does not want to go to the overnight event at school, and rather than telling me, he's just going to act out, and so this is going to get worse. So they finally just went to him and said, do you want to go? And the child says, no, I don't want to go. I don't want to do that. I want to go away overnight. I think sometimes we're like that with God, aren't we? God, if you really answer this, you might ask me to change. You might ask me to do something new. You might tell me no. So we really have to get down to that, do I really, really, really want to hear from God? King David was a person that really, really, really wanted to hear from God, right? You ever read his Psalms? He just pours out his complaint to God. He has no problem telling God exactly how he feels. He has no problem telling God, I'm dealing with these issues. And yet God spoke to him quite a bit. Why? Because David had a heart for God. Psalm 42, verses 1 and 2, David wrote this, and this is what he wrote to God. As the deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, O God. I thirst for God, the living God. When can I go and stand before him? That's his heart. I want to go stand before God. And he compares it to a deer longing for water. Now, I've never seen that. This morning, there were deer in the yard next to our house. The nuts are falling off the tree, so we see them quite a bit. I actually last week saw an albino deer, first time I've ever seen an albino fawn before, just a beautiful creature running around. I thought it was a big dog. I've never seen him panting over the water, but we have a Jack Russell Terrier. His name is Jack the dog, and when it's warm and when it's hot, he'll go out, and then about halfway on our walk, his tongue starts to hang out of his mouth, and then as we continue to go, sometimes he'll just quit walking. Remember, he's short, he's a little dog, and so he's walking on the asphalt where it's at least 10 degrees hotter, and he wants me to remember that. A couple times he's just stopped and laid down and looked at me. I've had to carry him home like a baby, his tongue hanging out of his mouth, people driving by. I go, yes, I'm carrying my dog, I'm going for a walk, he's getting carried. It's kind of a strange relationship we have sometimes. But you take him in the house, you put him down, he goes over to his water bowl, and he starts lapping it, and if he's really hot, he splashes water all over himself and all over the floor because he just wants to get cool, right? He just wants to have his thirst satisfied. David was like that with God. We just sang a song, like, you're like the air I need to breathe. I need you. I need you. When we get to that point where we're not hearing for God and we're not sure of what we're to do, when we get to the point where we just cry out to God, we know we're in a good spot because that's when God responds. In Deuteronomy 4:29, it's recorded what Moses was telling the people as he was preparing them to go in the promised land for him to move on. He said, this is the way it needs to be from now on. Deuteronomy 4:29, from there you will seek the Lord your God and you will find him if you search after him with all your heart, with all your soul. He said, look, guys, you're going to go in the promised land. Everything's going to go well as long as you seek for God with everything you have. When you stop seeking for God, things are not going to go right. When Habakkuk wrote many, many years later what we just read, the people had stopped seeking God. And they were causing violence around them, and they were causing all kinds of misery around them, and God was going to have to work in their life. But when God brought them out of slavery and brought them to the promised land, he says, look, just seek for me, and when you do, you'll find me. And they had lost that heart. And one of the great questions to ask yourself is, do I really want to hear from God? And when we really want to hear from God, your heart's ready to hear from God. Second question to ask ourselves when we want to hear, am I willing to take the time to withdraw and listen for God? Am I willing to take the time to withdraw and listen for God? Because you have to get away, right? Habakkuk says, I'm going to go to my watchtower. What's a watchtower? Well, there's two places for watchtowers. One was around the city of Jerusalem, and they were just like it sounds like. It was a guard tower where you went up high. You could see the enemy coming. You could see people coming down the road. The other watchtowers were out in the countryside. They were the advanced watchtowers where you could sit on a kind of horizon. They had someone there that could spot the army as they came. They would send back a messenger to the city and said, trouble's coming. But what Habakkuk said is, I'm going to go up there because I can get a better view and I can change my perspective and I can see and I can get away from my everyday routine, and when I'm out there, maybe I'll see God and I'll hear from him. I've said before, I like to take spiritual retreats. It's something I try to do every few months and just get away from everything, take about a half day, go away somewhere where there's nature. One of the places I've enjoyed going is Moses Cone State Park. If you haven't been there, it's up on the parkway, not too far from Boone area. And Moses Cone, if you guys don't know his name, over in Greensboro, he was from there. He lived there. He was a guy who produced a lot of denim. If you're wearing jeans, thank Moses Cone. I mean, he was one of the guys that really got that going. He donated a lot of money to Greensboro. That's the hospital there. But he had a summer home up on the parkway. And you can go visit him. But they also, he and his wife, they created all these trails. But they're really carriage trails, so they're nice, wide trails, gravel trails. And in the back of his kind of estate, there's a hill. And you can go up the hill, and at the very top of the hill, there's a watchtower. And you can climb up the stairs, and there's a platform, and you can see forever. The day I went up there, there was no one else out there. I sat there with my journal, and I just sat down to listen to God. And you know what I heard? I heard Tweetsie Railroad. If you guys know what Tweetsie Railroad is, it's the amusement park next door. It's this old converted train, and every 15 minutes it blows its whistle, which is Tweetsie. So I got to hear that all morning, but in between time, it was quiet. And I don't hear God with my ears. I've never heard him with my physical ears, but I've felt him in my spirit before, and just the calming presence of God. And I love to get away and just sit down with my journal and sit down with the Bible and just say, God, speak. And you write down whatever you think God's saying. You write down verses that you're reading. You write down passages that you've gone through, any memory verses you have, and just say, God, speak through your word. Now, even if you can't get away like that, you can spend time daily just spending time with God. Go to your closet. Go to your favorite chair. Go out on the porch. Go out in the yard. Get where it's quiet and just listen to God. Don't stay in your bed because you'll stay asleep, right? Get up. Get moving. Get your favorite coffee if that's what it takes. And just say, God, I'm here with you. I just want to speak to you. I want to hear your voice. And God responds. Luke 5:16 talks about Jesus. Here's something you may not have known about Jesus. It says this, but he, Jesus, would withdraw to desolate places and pray. The verb there, would withdraw, means continually. He would constantly get away, and he says, I need to hear from my Father. The night before he picked the 12 disciples, he went away to go pray. Spent all night praying. Of all the followers I have, Jesus, I mean, Father, tell me the 12. Which ones do you want me to pick? And he listened, and he came back the next morning, and he picked out the 12. The night before he was crucified, what did Jesus do? He went out to a garden, and he prayed. And he sought God, his Father's strength in his life to endure what he was about to go through. And here's my deal. If I'm supposed to follow Jesus, that means I do what Jesus did. And if Jesus went away and he felt it was necessary for him to go away, who am I not to do it? I mean, how am I expected to hear God with all the noise in my life, right? And you probably have noise in your life constantly, where we're listening to something on the headphones, we're listening to something in the car, we're listening to something in the house, we're playing a game. We're always doing something that creates noise. How do we hear from God unless we do what Jesus did and just get away? Those who are enrooted, you know, that's one of the things we're supposed to do. At least 5 days a week, we get away, we read, we have a place to write down prayers, which is one of the great things to do. If your prayer life is a little bit stagnant, and you find that you're just talking in your head, and then you start thinking about your to-do list or what you have to get at the grocery store, write your prayers down, record them, and then remember when God answers them to go back and give him praise. So am I willing to take time to withdraw is a great question to ask. Are you wanting to hear from God? Get away and listen. Third question to ask yourself, am I willing to wait for God to speak? Am I willing to wait for God to speak? It's been pointed out to me that wait is a four-letter word, and some of us treat it that way, right? We hate to wait. We hate to wait for anything. Wait for a line in the grocery store. Wait for a line at the fast food place. We hate to wait, but you know what? With God, we have to wait. Habakkuk said, there I will wait in the watchtower. I don't know how long he waited. There's no recorded. We don't know if he stayed up there minutes, hours, weeks, months, years. We know it took a long time for the answer to come. But we know he waited and he listened. What are you waiting to hear from God? Is there something you've been praying about over a number of years? Is there something you've been seeking for some time? How long are you willing to wait for God? In 2012, I was working as a volunteer. I was kind of helping with an organization called Love Out Loud. It's here in Winston-Salem, a great organization. Chuck Spong is the leader of that, good friend of mine. And the role of Love Out Loud here in our city is to bring Christ followers together to see the peace of the city, to help really the kingdom of God be established here and bring Christians together to help serve the city. And in helping out with them, one time we had a meeting and there was a gentleman that came from Indianapolis to speak to us. And I was there in the meeting and he began to tell us what God was doing in Indianapolis. He had started something called the Shepherd Center. The Shepherd Center was this organization that said to 500 children at the time, we're going to help you go from poverty to discovering God's call in your life and really discovering why you're here. They called it the cradle to career continuum. So they help children when they were just babies all the way to getting them into college or into some sort of career. And as I listened to him speak, I go, that's so exciting, because they were talking about this was the first year, the year in 2012, that they were getting kids into Ivy League schools like Harvard and a Duke. And they were getting kids into the military. They're getting kids into their careers, even if they weren't going to college. And they were really seeing a difference in their life. And the whole point was introduce them to Jesus, let their lives be changed and transformed, and then go back to your neighborhoods and live out what God's called you to do. And I thought, that is a great vision. Wouldn't it be cool if we could do that here in Winston-Salem? And then I came home. I said, guys, to my family, I think God's telling us to go to Indianapolis for spring break. Now, spring break is not like you think, go to Indianapolis, like go to the beach, go to the mountains. Indianapolis, great city, those that are from there, but it's like, I had to talk them into it a little bit. And I said, I think God wants us to go. So we got up next Monday, left for Indianapolis, went there, got to do some fun things like go to the zoo, got to stay in a hotel that was a converted train station, do some fun things. But then we got to see two organizations where God was working to transform the communities through these programs I told you about. And I felt God say, do that in Winston. And that was 8 years ago. And it's hard when you're waiting for God to do something to be patient. Maybe you've experienced that too. And so through the years, we've been adding things like our food pantry, clothes closet, doing different stuff and just watching God at work. And then a year ago, we got a new facility. And now the dream is able to move a step forward. And then tomorrow, I'm real excited because this facility is going to be a remote learning center for Imprints Cares, who is working with our school district. For those kids that have not been able to get online, and all our schools online right now, they're going to be able to come here. They're just scheduled to have 50 eventually kids come to this building right here starting tomorrow, and they're going to use the internet. They have a trained staff to help them, and we're going to try to catch them up because they're falling behind. They're really falling behind, and this is another step toward the dream. But it's been years in the making. How long can you wait to see something? Last year, we did Multiply 1.0 to help kind of fund some of this, and we gave out about $4,400, and you brought back, as God worked in you, over $24,000. It was huge. It was called Using Your Talent, and God just used some of you guys to do some amazing things, and we're doing that again this year to further fund the ministry center so we can see these things happen here and kids' lives changed. I was praying about what to do, and I wasn't sure whether to announce this or not, so I'll tell you what it is. I think this is what God's leading myself to do and my son Micah. We've been talking about it. We're going to do a thing called Circle the City. I had this idea a few years ago, and it was kind of like, okay, really or not? And what we're going to do is we're going to pray over the city and circle the city and walk it in one day. It's about 33 miles the route we're going to take. We're going to start at Old Town because that's where the dream started. We're going to walk Shadowlawn down to Oak Summit. Oak Summit, we're going to end up on Carver School Road, if you know where that is. Walk that down to 311, 311 down to Martin Luther King Boulevard. Then kind of curve our way to Clemensville on the south side of town. Walk all the way west that way. Hit Peace Haven. Peace Haven to the Country Club area. Country Club to the Muddy Creek Trail, if you know where that is. Muddy Creek Trail. Going to cut through a neighborhood. I'm going to have to ask permission to do that. And then get on Shadowlawn and end up back at Old Town. It took me, 30 seconds to tell you. That's what we're going to do. 33 miles, though, I can't walk it in 30 seconds. But we're just going to get sponsors and say, God, use this. And we're going to pray over the city to see this dream fulfilled. Again, we believe God's called this church to impact this area for his kingdom. This building is not just for us. It's to take the kingdom of God to the people right here, right now. So if you guys would continue to be praying for that, but just realize it takes years sometimes to see a dream fulfilled. How long have you been praying for something for your family? How long have you been praying maybe for a new career? How long have you been praying for an idea? How long have you been praying for a relationship? How long are you willing to wait? The Bible talks about three ways to wait. It's not on your outline. You might want to add this in. There's three great scriptures that tell us how to wait. The first one is this, Psalm 62, verse 5. David's writing, it says, "For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is from him." One way to wait is to wait quietly. That initial thing is crying out to God and just yelling after God and pouring out your complaint, and then you just sit and you wait quietly, and you don't push, and you don't fight it, and you just go, "God, I'm good." It's a hard thing to get to, but that's where God wants us to be, wait quietly. Number two is to wait patiently. Psalm 37, verse 7, "Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him." You know, we're still children to God. We want our children to be patient. What does God want from us? I want you to be patient as you wait. Third way is to wait expectantly. Psalm 5, 3, the writer says, "Listen to my voice in the morning, Lord. Each morning I bring my request to you and I wait expectantly." What does that mean? God, I know you're going to work. Don't know how you're going to work. I don't know how you're going to answer, but I'm expecting something because of who you are, not because who I am. I don't know if anybody knows what the name Habakkuk means. Anybody know? One thing I do know is I've never met a child named Habakkuk. And I don't think there's anybody in the room named Habakkuk, right? Anybody in Habakkuk? Middle names? Even thought about it? Okay, people thinking about having babies, maybe that would be your thing. Grandchild named Habakkuk. No? Okay. Maybe we'll see. It's a name not really popular, is it? It has one of two meanings. I'll give you both of them. They're related. It either means to embrace or to wrestle. And they're very similar if you think about it, right? What do you do when you embrace? You wrap them up. What do you do when you wrestle? You grab hold of them. What's the difference between the two? When you embrace, it's because you like them and you need them and you just want to connect with them. With wrestle, you're looking to what? Defeat them, take them down, right? I'm going to win this. Don't we do both with God? There's times we just want to embrace, and there's times we want to wrestle. And God, I think, is saying through Habakkuk, he's doing both. He's wrestling with God, but he also wants to embrace God. So how long are you willing to wait, and are you going to wrestle with God or embrace him? Fourth question to ask yourself, am I willing to watch for God to speak? Which is a strange thing to put together, because normally you listen to hear God speak, but Habakkuk went to watch. He says, I'm going up there to wait to see. He was visual, right? I want to see what you're going to do, God. Because sometimes God speaks through circumstances. One of the greatest ways God speaks is through the Bible. And that's why we want you reading it. It's why we all should be reading the Bible, looking for God's answers. And that's the first place we go. But also watch your circumstances. Watch people around you. Watch people in your small group. Watch what's happening at church. Keep your eyes open. Be watching constantly for God. If you continue in Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, he goes on and he writes this. Then the Lord said to me, write my answer plainly on tablets so that a runner can carry the correct message to others. He said, write it down. When you hear from God, when there's a verse that you think is for you, when God's speaking, write it down because you need to remember that. You need to be able to see it. In this case, he needed a messenger to take it back, but you need to write it down as well because you're going to doubt it one day. When God speaks and you hear it, if you don't write it down, one day you're going to go, did God really say that? I can't tell you how many Christ followers I talked to. They said, yeah, I think I gave my life to Jesus when I was a little kid, but I don't know. I don't remember. And I talked to people that felt like God called them as a teenager to do something, and they go, I don't know anymore. Well, what changed? I don't feel it anymore. Well, did God say something different? No. So what changed? My feelings changed. And that was it. It happens to all of us. Doubt comes in. Satan tries to get us discouraged. And we begin to doubt what God said. Write it down so it's in front of you. God went on to say to him, this vision is for a future time. It's not for right now. It describes the end and it will be fulfilled. If it seems slow in coming, wait patiently. For it will surely take place. It will not be delayed. We think, or scholars think, that Habakkuk was written around 600 AD, 600 years before Jesus, I'm sorry, BC. But the answer came about 586, about 14 years later, when Habakkuk cried out to God and said, what are you going to do about all this violence? God said, this is what I'm going to do. Just like Israel, the northern kingdom, was sent into exile, this is what's going to happen to Judah. Babylon's going to come. And they're going to come and they're going to force Judah into exile. And when they go into exile, they're going to get so hungry and thirsty for me, their hearts will turn, but it's going to take a while. And while that was sad news for Habakkuk to hear, it was also good news that God wasn't just going to let them flounder for the rest of their existence. He was going to step in and he was going to do something. And one day they would come back and they would experience him again. But they were going to have to go through a hard time. 1 John 5:14 and 15 is a promise from God. If you don't know this, maybe you want to write this down. Maybe you want to type it into your phone. Maybe just memorize it. Because you're going to need this verse sometime. This is the promise. 1 John 5:14, and this is the confidence that we have toward him. That if we ask anything according to his will, here's the promise, he hears you. God hears you. It's not so much what you're about, it's what he's about. He listens. And then it goes on to say, and if we know that he hears us, in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of him. That's a promise, isn't it? You ask according to the will of God, it will happen. You will see an answer. You can bank on it. And put that one away and remember when you're waiting and you're not hearing from God, he is working. He's bringing circumstances together. He's changing you. He's transforming you. He's preparing you for what he's going to do. Don't give up. And don't get discouraged. Just trust him to do what needs to be done to answer your request. So, are you willing to watch for God? Last question, we'll end with this question, number five. Will I worship him through it all? Will I worship him through it all? Are you willing to worship God even when things don't work out? Habakkuk was going to have to wait 14 years to see God at work. And it was going to be tough. But the last three verses of Habakkuk, again, a very short book, this is what Habakkuk wrote. Even though the fig trees have no blossoms, and there are no grapes on the vines, and even though the olive crop fails and the fields lie empty and barren, even though the flocks die in the fields and the cattle barns are empty, here, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes me as sure-footed as a deer, able to tread upon the heights. He says, look, even if nothing works out, even if everything looks like it's going south, even if my crops don't produce, nothing's happening the way I want, the things aren't not producing what they're supposed to, my life doesn't seem quite right, I'm still going to rejoice in the Lord because I trust him. That's faith, isn't it? When you can worship, when things aren't going right, when you can look at the world as crazy as it is and as broken it is, and you can still worship, and you can still come in and sing the songs that we're singing, and you can still sit down with a piece of paper and write, I praise you, God, because I know you're there, and I know you're a good God, and I know you're working. I still believe. When you can do that, you know you're where God wants you to be. When you can worship and it's not happening, that's exactly where God wants you to be. You're seeing the future, and that's what faith does. There's a verse in Habakkuk that you know, but you may not know that you know it. It's quoted three times in the New Testament, and it really states so much of what we're about as followers of Jesus. Habakkuk 2:4, this is what he wrote. But the righteous shall live by faith. Not by our own good works, not by our own righteousness. We live by faith. We trust in God. We trust the God who sent his son to die on the cross for us. We trust him if he would give his very best, that he still is going to give whatever we need. We absolutely live by faith. And that's the message of Habakkuk. When you don't see, when you don't hear, when things are not quite what you want, you're still going to live by faith that God is going to bring it about. When you don't hear, you know he's going to speak to you when the time is right. When you don't have the vision, where you're not seeing the answers, and you're still going, God is there. I believe. I trust. God's saying, that's exactly what I want you to do. So where are you today? What are you praying about maybe you haven't seen? Where are you with hearing from God? I think what we need to do as a body, even here on our birthday as a church, why don't we just stop and say, God, we see that you've started some things. You're doing some things in our life. You have something even greater for us, more than we can hope for or imagine. And we're just going to listen, and we're going to watch, and we're going to wait, and we're going to worship until you bring about what you're going to do. So whatever it is in your life that you're praying about, let's just give it to the Lord right now as we close in prayer. Let's pray. Father God, you are a faithful God, and I thank you for being so faithful to this church over the last 13 years. You brought it about. You put it together, and each person has a different story of how you brought them here. And maybe it's just for one day. It could have been for a season. It could have been for the whole time we've been going, but you have a perfect plan. And there's seasons where we've heard you very clearly, and there's been seasons where it's been really quiet, but there's always a season of faithfulness that you're coming through, and you're leading to the next one and the next one and the next one. So I pray for each person in the room today that whether they're dealing with doubts, where they have big questions, or where they're hearing you every single day, we just come to you and say, keep speaking. Keep reaching out to us. We reach out to you as a child would with our hands upward, saying, we love you, Father God. Speak so we can hear. Prepare our hearts for what you're going to do. Show us what's next. And we want you to have the glory that belongs to you. We look to Jesus and his faithfulness. We look to Jesus and his sacrifice. We look to Jesus on the cross. We see the empty tomb. And we know that today, by faith, he is right at your right hand, speaking on our behalf, speaking as our advocate. And in that, we trust. And in him, we have faith. And in him, we go forth from this place. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Online, we want to thank you guys for being with us. We hope you have a great week. If you ever have any questions online, if you have any prayer requests, just shoot us a thing at info@bridgeschurch.net and let us know what's going on. And in the room, we want to thank you too for being here today. It's always a weird thing saying goodbye to you a little differently than them. Outside, we have communion for you, and we're here available to pray with you any questions you might have. And I hope everybody has a great week. Thanks for being here.